Welcome to WGIL's Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Jay Redfern.
Our guest today has been a familiar name to Galesburg sports fans for parts of six decades. Mike Trueblood is the longtime sports editor of the Register Mail. And during his 45 years at the paper, Mike covered thousands of Silver Streak athletes, hundreds of games, dozens of coaches. I haven't really put numbers to that, but I'm kind of guessing on that. So recently, Mike added an impressive title to his long list of accomplishments. This November, Mike will enter the Galesburg Athletic Hall of Fame as a friend of athletics. Mike, congratulations and welcome to Galesburg Live.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here. And yeah, it was a really nice honor to receive. I'm looking forward to the ceremonies and all that goes with it.
So before we get started, I'm going to test your memory. I don't think I've ever formally interviewed you, but you did interview me on one occasion. Do you remember when that was?
Oh, no, I don't.
Do you remember at all? Spring of 1985, you interviewed me for a job. You and Bob Harrison.
Well, yeah.
not a newspaper interview, but that was
it. Wasn't like an interview for a story or anything.
No,
like
but that was our.
Was it 85?
1985. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I know you'd done some work prior, part time.
Yeah,
right?
I covered some Legion baseball in the summer and a little bit of other baseball.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, like I said, congratulations on your well deserved honor of going into the Hall of Fame. What was your reaction when you first learned you'd be going in the Hall of Fame?
I was a little bit surprised. I kind of thought that I might be, you know, eligible the last few years or so, but I don't know. I really wasn't expecting when it would come up, you know, or if it would come up soon. So it was a little bit of a surprise, yeah.
Yeah. So have you started working on your speech yet?
I've thought of a couple things, you know. I don't want to use up my good material, but to show how long I was at the Register Mail, one of the things I remember is right before I came to the Register Mail, Register Mail was the first time I ever worked on a computer. And I don't know if you remember those antiques.
I certainly do.
That we had back then. Do you remember the name brand or anything?
I don't know. Rob Buck remembers those, but I don't. I just remember one wrong key and you'd shut down
right.
The whole system.
Or you could lose stories all the time. And prior to that, the paper, I grew up in Belvidere, Illinois, and that's where I got my first job at the paper there. We did all our stories on a, you know, typewriter and typed everything out and used glue pots to glue the pages together so your story would all stay in one piece. And that's where I came from. And then I came right to the Register Mail where for the first time ever I used a computer. And my career extended all the way through the, you know, the computer age, the internet age, the social media age. And by the time that I, you know, at the end of my career there, I was doing videos weekly with some of the coaches. And it just was a light years advance from where we started. That's one way of illustrating it, I guess. And then the other one was I was asking you a question about this. I was adding up all the coaches that I'd covered in my career there, and I came up with, I'd covered 12 head football coaches, 11 head boys basketball coaches, and kind of a, I don't know if it's kind of funny, we got one girls basketball coach in Evan Massey.
He's outlasted them all.
He's been there, our careers have sort of paralleled there. He's still going, and he was there coaching when I first started. So I think I asked you yesterday, I was trying to remember all the athletic directors, and I think there was eight, came up with eight athletic directors in my career at Galesburg High.
That's not a whole lot, really, for that amount of time. You know, we had some people stay there.
No, there's a few that have stayed a while, and some that didn't.
So I did talk to Kevin earlier this week, and he reminded me that he beat you into the Hall of Fame by a few years as a member of a manager on the 98 basketball team.
That's
so,
right. That's
so does
right.
He ever – I'm sure he's going to remind you of that. So
that's right. I have a picture at home of him in his warm-ups with getting his medal at the 1998 state basketball tournament when they were – during the medal ceremony, and he was real proud of that, and so was I. He was a key part of that team. He did a lot of the video and work for Coach Mike Miller, and I'm sure it's one of the highlights of his career.
Yeah. So you talked about it a little bit. You came from Belvedere. How did you end up getting the job at the Register Mail?
Originally, I was going to try to be like, I told Kevin this recently. I said, Kevin's probably with his career now down at in Florida, working at Florida Coastal University with all their broadcasting stuff. He's really made quite a career for himself. And I wanted to be in broadcasting originally too, but things didn't quite work out. And I ended up working part-time for the covering games for the Belvedere newspaper, and I liked it. And when they had an opening come up, I was still finishing up at Northern Illinois University. They had a sports editor. It was a one-man staff, and they had a sports editor's job open up, and so I applied for it, and I got it. So I worked there for about 3 years, and that was quite a job because it's a one-man staff, and they had a lot of sports going on. And I wanted to go on to a bigger and better place, and I applied to some different places and got an interview down here at Galesburg, and I was interviewed by Bob Harrison, and Bruce Holding was the assistant sports editor then, with Joe Morrissey being the legendary Joe Morrissey.
Right, I was going to ask you about that.
Sports editor.
And so you were just starting here when he was kind of in the twilight of his career.
Yeah.
What do you remember about Joe?
Oh, he was the ultimate source for anything about the Silver Streaks, particularly basketball. He covered the glory days of the John Thiel era, and was still an iconic figure in Galesburg at that time. And I supported him for about 2 or 3 years before he stepped down, and I took over as sports editor.
And he was still a frequent visitor to the newsroom years after he left.
So. He came by quite a bit, and I took him to some games and stuff the first few years after he'd retired, and despite his failing eyesight, he could still complain about officials and stuff. And when we went to games.
Yeah. So let's dig into your career of covering the Silver Streaks. And this is kind of a big question, but, you know, what are some of the athletes, coaches that you remember?
Well, athletes, it's hard to pick out just a few because there were so many good ones. But, of course, the ones that everybody remembers are ones like Joey Range and his basketball career and people like that. The trips to state by the teams were always a highlight. You know, the girls' teams went several times, and that was a highlight. And, of course, the boys' trip when they finished second in Double A in 1998, that was a highlight, watching that state championship baseball team in 88 and the trips they made before and after. And those were obviously highlights. Individual athletes, like I said, it's hard to pick them out because it's just there's just so many of them. You know, one thing I also thought of as a former Silver Streak, Jim Sundberg, the Major League Baseball catcher, one of my highlights I'd kind of forgotten because he was a pro at that time. He was a member of the Kansas City Royals, but he's an ex-Silver Streak, and I got to cover his participation in the 1985 playoffs and World Series, and that was quite a thrill back then.
Yeah, so he's certainly one of the bigger names for sure. So.
Well, it was a highlight, too, because he made it easy for me. I was just the local guy going down in the middle of the, national media horde that follows those events. And when you go down there, if you've ever been to anything like that, there's a mob of about, a couple hundred sports writers all trying to get interviews with people and stuff, and it's really hard. And Jim made it a point to kind of find me and come over and talk with me, and I really appreciated that and made it very enjoyable for me.
Did you expect to stay in Galesburg when you got here?
No. I didn't. To be honest, I didn't.
What do you think?
I thought it was just going to be a stepping stone to something, you know, bigger and better. But I settled in. You know, I had a family, and it was a great place to raise kids, and I really enjoyed the work here, enjoyed the people, and 1 year led to another and another, and before you know it, you know, 30, 40 years have passed. So,
I don't know about you, but one of the things that I really enjoyed or treasured are the relationships with the coaches. You know, the players come and go, but the coaches, you know, tend to stay, obviously. And back in 80s and 90s, you had coaches that stayed a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, who are some of the favorites or some of the biggest characters of as far as coaches that you covered?
Characters. Well, Gary Brewington was always one, the baseball coach who was here for many years and led the team to those state trips and that state title. He was always great to talk to, talk baseball, and he'd talk any sport because he was involved in a lot of the different sports, and he could talk with you with about anything. And actually, the probably the best relationships I had with coaches were the last, most recent, Tim Daugherty, the football coach, who took the team to the playoffs a couple of times, and Mike Reynolds, the basketball coach. And I don't know if it's because we had a closer relationship because we did videos and worked closer together than I did with a lot of the other coaches, but those two stick out in my mind. I wasn't always I didn't go out to make close personal contact with a lot of the coaches. I tried to keep it on a professional relationship, so maybe I didn't become quite as friendly with a lot of them as I could have.
Mm-hmm. How about you know, you often hear coaches say how rewarding but difficult it is to coach their own son or daughter, but you know, you had the chance to watch Ted and cover some of his Ted Trueblood, your son, during his career. What was that like?
Oh, it was difficult because people, especially parents, are pretty sensitive. You hear the comments over the years about, you know, favoring one athlete over another with your coverage and stuff like that. And I had to be very careful about how much coverage that he got or how much attention in the paper, how many, you know, there are people who probably keep track of how many pictures of each kid is in the paper.
Yeah, and we know that happens for sure. So,
and I had to be real careful about it. But he was let's face it, he was an outstanding player, and a lot of the attention he gained was because he earned it. So he held up his end of the bargain. He performed well and was a standout player, and I don't think too many people could complain about the coverage you got.
Obviously, you're a little biased, but I trumpet his case all the time for the Hall of Fame. You know, people think of him as a basketball player, but his baseball career, I believe he held the single season RBI record.
He
still does for a long time.
He's had a couple of close calls. A couple of guys have come within one or two RBIs of it, but he's held on all these years.
Okay, what's Ted doing now?
He is a principal of, not going to ask me the name of the school, but it's a K through 8th grade school up in the East Moline School District. And I can never remember the name of it, but he's a principal up there. He had recently continued coaching, helping another Galesburg alumnus, Ryan Weber, at East Moline, and he had been an assistant at UT for several years.
So obviously, you know, you covered a lot more than the Silver Streaks. You're going into the Hall of Fame for covering Galesburg, but, you know, for during your 45 years, what are some of the other highlights? You mentioned covering Jim Sundberg. What are some of the other college or pro other than Galesburg? And even high school, you know, you had Bob Anderson at you had other teams besides Galesburg.
Oh, there were a lot of great area athletes I remember covering, and the Williamsfield teams, you know, being such a small school and having great success there. I enjoyed covering them and going to the small school games was always a treat. We worked close. You and I both worked closely with Larry Haynes, who was kind of like our small school expert. He knew the coaches and all the schools, and it was always fun working with him. The thing I always tell people is Larry. I haven't seen Larry in a long time, and I wish I could because I'd like to talk about old times. But on Friday nights when we couldn't track down coaches for quotes and things like that, he knew all the local night spots to call and find coaches having an after-game cocktail, and you could hear him on the phone talking with the jukebox blaring in the background, and it was always a lot of fun.
Yeah,
working with Larry.
He definitely had the knowledge, but he was a really solid writer, and especially like copy editor. You know, he caught things. He taught me a lot of things,
going back to your question, as far as pros and stuff, you know, I did go up occasionally to major league games with the Cubs and White Sox and the Bears, especially when they were in their heyday with Mike Ditka going to the Super Bowl. Didn't get to go to the Super Bowl, but went to some playoff games, and that was always fun because that was such a fun team to cover. And I remember, along with being able to cover the Cardinals in the 82 World Series and playoffs, covered them in 85, and then covered the Cubs in 84 and 89, and even the White Sox, I think I went to their playoffs, I think it was in 83. I got to go to the Major League All-Star games that were in Comiskey at that time in, I think that was also 83. And the Cubs had I think the 1990 All-Star game at Wrigley, and so I got to go to that, which those were highlights, definitely.
Right. So working in the newspaper business, I guess it's just like any other industry, but has seen a lot of changes just in how things work. You know, one of the bigger changes is obviously the advent of the internet. Younger people can't even imagine life without internet, but how did that change how you covered sports?
Wow. Well, we had to be more immediate, you know. When we first started, you know that the print deadline was the king, you mm-hmm. know. We had to get it out by a certain time. But once the internet came in and social media became popular, we had to post things immediately if we found out any news or any breaking stories. We had to get them online and get them out there as soon as we could. That was the main thing. I remember when that first happened. It was the late 1990s, and I was at a sports editors meeting in Chicago, and they were talking about that. What do you do with it when you've got a story? Do you hold it for the print edition, or do you release it immediately? It was kind of a debate for a little while, but that debate didn't last very long. They decided we got to release it immediately. So
right. I guess that all turned into somewhat of a debate because newspapers did release everything and gave everything away, and then look at the newspaper industry now. So
yeah,
I'm not sure if that was the smartest move, but
that was kind of, I don't want to say the beginning of the end, but a big change in how news was reported.
Kind of talk about a typical Friday night, football Friday night. What was, kind of say how that went?
Oh, that could be pretty crazy. Of course, during the week, we'd map out what games we thought were the big games in the area, and of course, the Galesburg game, we always covered that. That was our primary focus. And we'd assign photographers and writers to the games. And that included, we had part-timers working for us. A lot of guys that we started out as part-timers, I guess yourself included, that became full-time people and went on to other places. But we'd assign everybody to go out, and then they'd go out to the games. And then when they came back from the games, the newsroom would be pretty busy as they completed their stories. And the person working the desk, doing the copy editing and getting the stories on the pages, they were under the gun getting all those stories edited and in print on deadline. And could be pretty hectic there. I don't know, about midnight, 1 o'clock sometimes.
Yeah, people don't realize that. You know, what, 1:30, I think, one time was our deadline. So, and then.
Yeah, you go home pretty drained.
Yeah. Unless we stopped at someplace for breakfast or something like that afterwards. Yeah. But how about the actual practice of sports writing? Did your writing style or the way you had to write, did that change over the years?
Yeah, I think when I first started, it was pretty nuts and bolts. Not too much feature-ish approach to it. But as time went on, the style came to be more of a feature-ish approach to writing, not just the statistics and who was the leading scorer and all that, but picking out a prime moment in the game and focusing on that, or a prime player and focusing on that person, rather than just all the usual details of a game story.
Did you have any writers, nationally or famous writers, that you kind of looked up to, or did you just kind of?
Yeah, there were many. I liked the Chicago writers a lot. Now you're going to make me remember their names, and I don't know if I can remember them all. I was a big fan of the Chicago Tribune, and I liked their staff, a lot of the guys that wrote for them. The Sun-Times had some pretty good writers, too.
Some of those guys ended up being on the, what was the show, the sports reporters?
Those were the kind of the old guard, but they had some younger guys that I liked that did features. David Israel, I don't know if you remember him. Now it's starting to come back to me. John Shulian was another one, and he was a columnist for the Sun-Times, and both of those guys went on to become screenwriters in Hollywood, writing scripts for TV, and I don't know if they ever did any movies, but every now and then you'd be watching a TV show and see their name on the credits for writing. So they went on to different careers after sports writing.
Do you have a story or two that stand out to you or that were especially rewarding? I mean, is there something just got pop in your mind? Or?
Oh, wow. I guess I'm surprised sometimes when you write a story that you didn't think was that big of a deal. You wrote a story about somebody or a feature, and then years later, you'll run into that person. At least this has happened to me. In fact, it happened to me a year or two ago. And you don't think too much about it. You think, oh, I just wrote a story about this guy who, in fact, I did a story about a guy who was the caretaker for Sunberg Field, who watered it and did the grass and all that stuff. And I didn't think much about it. I just told a story about what he did and what his job was. And I ran into him a couple years later, and they just thanked me up and down about doing that story about him. And sometimes you don't realize how much that means to people or impacts their life, you know, something he did for them. They probably never had any publicity about anything in their whole life. And then you do something like that for them, and they really appreciate it and really like it. And to this day, I'm still impressed when I go into a business or someplace and they have a story, maybe that we did, framed on the wall or laminated, posted somewhere. You go, wow, they thought enough to do that. And it just reminds you how much you don't even know it, but your stories mean to people.
Yeah. What about the facilities, especially at Galesburg High School, the athletic facilities, fields, gyms, everything? I mean, they've changed so much since you started.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know that back in the 80s and that, they were pretty crude. They always had the nice football field as far as a playing surface, but the players still always talk about that locker room that they used to have for years and years that they finally got rid of when they renovated the whole place. And Thiel Gym was always a favorite place for people to go to watch games. And Galesburg was always hurting a little bit. Maybe it was that way everywhere. I don't know. But, you know, as more and more teams came along, the girls' teams It was harder to find places to practice. You know, they were going all over town. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember when they would go. Of course, they would have to go to the junior highs, but they would go out to Hawthorne Gym or different places to try to find places to practice. And now that doesn't seem to be a problem.
Yeah.
With the field house and White Call Gym and the places in their own facilities now.
So I was going to ask you, did you know that you always wanted to be a sports writer? And if you hadn't gone into journalism, you kind of mentioned you maybe radio.
Yeah, I wanted to be a radio guy. You know, I was growing up, and when I caught the sports bug, I was probably late grade school, sixth grade or so. I caught the sports bug, and I'll tell you the exact thing that kind of got me going was I was a big fan of the Yankees back then and Mickey Mantle. And when the Mantle-Maris home run race got going, that's what really got me going as far as interest in sports. First it was baseball, and then I graduated to basketball and football. And I wanted to play, and I tried to play, and I was a very mediocre athlete in high school days. But I wanted to do something, you know, in my life that was going to be fun and something that I liked to do, and I thought I wanted to be sports related. And initially I thought it would be radio, but when I got into school, they suggested, well, if you want to be in radio or TV, you have to take journalism courses just like you would if you were going to be preparing to be a writer. And because writing courses were applicable to both sides of the media there. So those writing skills I picked up in school, and then I improved on writing part-time for the newspaper, applied, and that's how I got into the newspaper side of it.
So when you said you wanted to go into radio, would you be like play-by-play, or what did you have in mind?
Yeah, just about anything. I did a little play-by-play for Harlem High School up in Rockford. It's the Rockford area. Did some of their football games one year, or some basketball too. And not very much, but a little bit. And yeah, I wanted to do that. But like I said, I also went to, when I got in this, I was enlisted in the Army, and I enlisted to be a broadcast specialist, and I was sent to the Army. It was actually the Defense Department Information School in Indianapolis, which was a 10-week course in Indianapolis, which was one of the best courses of anything I ever took. I mean, they were really good at what they taught you in just a short time. And I always enjoyed that experience. I always remember that.
Let's just talk about sports in general. How much of a sports fan are you still?
Well, you know, I guess I'm getting older. I don't follow things quite as much as I used to, simply because I think a lot of it is there's just so many more teams and many more leagues and many more athletes. It's just like you can't keep up with them all. So I'm probably not as big a sports fan as I used to be, but I still follow it quite a bit, especially my favorite teams, the Bears and the Cubs. But I'm just not quite as into it as I used to be.
Do you think there's any... You know, you did this for 40 to 45 years. Is there any burnout from not necessarily doing the job, but from watching sports? I mean, your whole career was sports. I mean, is there a point, even like when you were working, did you want to get away from it?
Yeah, I did. I'd run into people. I'd see them on a Monday or something and say, man, I bet you watched all those games over the weekend, you know, like all the NFL games and stuff. And I'd say, no, I really didn't. I watched the Bears, and that's all I watch. And a lot of the other teams, I don't. Really, even I couldn't even tell you too much about anybody else in the league. I just sort of kept my interest kind of selective there.
Okay, well, that should wrap up our conversation with Gillsburg's newest Hall of Famer. I don't know about you, but I've always found it a lot easier to ask the questions than to answer them. So I appreciate
true.
You taking the time today, and thanks for joining me. And congratulations
again. Thanks for asking me.
Okay,
appreciate
thanks, Mike.
It.